It's The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Welcome, everybody. That is Monday, February 3rd. Sorry, not quite adjusted yet.
Finally out of January.
Yeah. That freaking blew. January sucked. But anyway, so today we're going to be talking with Susan Morrison, who wrote a book called Lauren, The Man Who Invented Saturday Night Live. All this talk about Saturday Night Live and, you know, the 50th anniversary, the special that we all, well, I mean, Scotty and I saw, the musical special Saturday Night Live.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night!
It was funny because I think on one of the scenes they were like, what's the Saturday Night Live theme? Nobody
got it.
Could whistle it, hum it. Nobody. It's been on for 50 years. Nobody remembers it.
It's kind of on purpose, though. They mix it up a little bit, yeah. Right? They change right. It.
Jeff had asked me, has he watched it before I did?
What did Jeff think?
He liked it, but he asked me what the thing was, and I go, and he's like, what are you doing? I go, it's a saxophone.
What you just did is exactly what all of the major musicians and cast members did.
And he's like, he was laughing at me. And I go, no, it's...
And then they show the sax guy doing it, and I still don't recognize it when just the sax guy does it. But yeah, so that's...
No, because I know your Jeff watches a lot of that stuff, and sometimes you'll suggest them to me, and I'll suggest them to you. But I wanted to get his opinion on it, because everybody I've spoken to said they really, really enjoyed it, but agreed with me, because on the format that they had watched it on, they couldn't get through the commercial breaks.
I started, like you said, the first 10 minutes of it, and then haven't.
I have always loved it, Saturday Night Live, as a show for the unpredictability of it, and then I had to stop with the Trump stuff. Because it was just too much. It became like a one note pony. You know what I mean? That's how it felt. Like, not, it was funny in the beginning, but it was every opening, and it was Alec Baldwin, and it was just too friggin' much. For the love of Christ, not everything has to be political. But that's what people who were watching it were digging. I just got tired of it because I get tired of politics in general. I don't care what side it's coming from. But not saying it couldn't be funny. But it was like, I just stopped watching for a while.
So,
you know, but now I kind of do check it out because it goes in waves. It always has.
I'm kind of curious of this because I want to know who is Lauren. Like, so Lorne Michaels has this idea that he wants to have a variety show.
One.
He creates it. But who was he as a to create it? Like, was he already working for NBC? Mm. Was he a writer? How did he get the opportunity to be like, I have a Saturday Night variety show.
Yeah.
I'm putting it on. It's going to be live. This is what I want. Because you need some pull, I would think.
Well, in the beginning, you didn't. In the beginning, nobody was doing it. Saturday Night was a dead zone.
Yeah.
So it wanted to be, remember now, this is whatever, 76 or whatever. And there was a bit of a revolution in who they put on. If you watch the music special, Laura, you'll see like Captain Beefheart. Like they put on, they went avant-garde before anybody else did. I mean, is that what you got from it, Scotty?
Yep.
And that was, if it was cool in New York City and the rest of the country didn't know it, or know anything about it, they didn't give a shit. They put it on because if it was cool in New York City, that's what they wanted Saturday Night Live to be.
It was whatever was popular for music at the time in New York City went to SNL. And I mean, whether it was John Belushi, brought in the band Fear, which was a punk band that he liked, and somebody else brought in the first rap band to perform. Whatever the New York City's hot pot music-wise, mixing pot, whatever you want to call it, was popular. That's what they brought on
SNL.
But
they also, for hosts and stuff like that, they got people that were, you know, Buck Henry. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, people
Mr.
that we...
Mr. Bill, I remember him.
Who?
Remember Mr. Bill?
Yeah, we would go, you'd go back like and see some of the hosts that hosted, and you go, who?
Yep.
You know what I mean? But that was part of who they are.
Right.
And so, but he built that into like what you're saying. How do you get all the biggest? Now, he's such a cultural icon.
Right. But
he can convince anybody to do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
How many times did people have a hissy fit and, oh, I'm leaving? And he went and talked to them.
Yeah, right.
And they came back
and talked him back into the building. Yeah.
And the thing about it is he has the bright, the smart business attitude.
Yeah.
As long as it's good for the show,
right?
then they're going to do it.
So Susan has this book out. It's called Lauren, the man who invented Saturday Night Live. You can ask him that very question. Like, who was he in the beginning? Susan Morrison's going to join us any second. It's fascinating.
How old is he? Wait.
I don't know. He's got to be 70, 80, something. He was young when they started. It was all young.
What I mean is to have that pull at a,
He started, the whole show was unknowns. And they started doing this sketch humor, and it evolved, you know, through time. And look at the careers it's made. Some of our favorite comedies have come from
And a lot of, I mean, improvisation took off because of that show.
And on Netflix right now, it came out last month. It's in my list of movies to watch. Is the movie Saturday Night, which didn't do well at the theater, but is doing really, really good. Like 2 or 3 years ago, it's doing really, really good on Netflix.
That's an entire movie about the first episode.
Okay.
And how Billy Crystal was supposed to be in the first episode, and they before the first show, they pulled him.
The very first episode?
The very first episode. Oh. Yeah, he was supposed to be part of it, and he was crushed. He thought his career was over. It's very, the whole story is really interesting. I do want to see that movie as well. But just
Netflix.
44 81.
Yeah. Yeah. 81. So, but anyway, yeah, it's I sat next to him. I sat next to Lorne Michaels at Fenway Park before a World Series game. I was up in the club in the restaurant. With some bigwigs, and sat right next to me with James Taylor. It was him and James Taylor. No, it was him and Richard Gere. James Taylor was there, but Richard Gere was the guy that sat at the table.
So if you could say hi to one of them, who are you going to say hi to?
I think Richard Gere.
Okay.
I mean, because I don't know. Lauren isn't known for being...
warm
like
and fuzzy?
You never hear him being warm and fuzzy to anybody, even the people he works with. So I probably would have went for Richard Gere.
Yeah, but that has to be a tough... So think about, he's wrangling a bunch of people who think they're funny.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them probably are, and some of them probably aren't. And then you get somebody who's becomes funny, becomes really popular, your head gets big, are you dealing with, like, divas and stuff like that?
I think he's got to be a massage artist, right? Massaging egos.
Yeah.
Has to be a big part of what he has to do.
And at the same time, cutting. Listen, I don't think that's going to float this week.
Yeah.
Different things, yeah.
Imagine Laura's a young writer on the show. She finally gets a skit that's going to be scheduled on the show, and yet something happens during the show where they run long on something, and you have to go tell Laura it's not running. And you know it's her dream to get her first sketch on the air.
Turned me on to Studio 60,
yeah.
Which is a fake comedy show, which happens on Friday night, to beat the guest and everybody on Saturday night. And they talked about how they would have a skit that was coming up, and then something happened in the world, and they had to pull the skit, but you still have 3.5 minutes that needs to be filled.
Right.
It was very interesting.
That's when Rage walked off, right? Rage Against the Machine walked off, and they did have time to fill when that didn't happen.
Well, they made the decision they weren't going to do a second song.
Yeah.
Because they waved the flag. And
They had to fill or whatever. But she's supposed to be joining us here any minute. My God, watch, now that I've talked about it, she won't call.
That's okay. We can still talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could write a book.
Yeah,
if we wanted to.
I thought it was good.
This is what I thought when I sat in my living room and watched Saturday Night Live back in 1985. You know, I was blown away by the whole Blues Brothers thing. We had Steve Cropper on. Right. We've had Dan Aykroyd.
Lauren didn't want any part of that.
Yeah, he wasn't sure. And the blues musicians said, "We're not playing with them. They're comedians." And it was Steve Cropper who said, "No, guys, these guys are the real deal." And the album, Laura, sold out so fast, it was unavailable.
Yep,
like immediately. Within a day, every record store was sold out. It was one of the fastest selling records ever.
It's crazy.
And it blew off the shelves. And it's good. I still listen to the Blues Brothers record to this day.
And people were blown away by Belushi when he did that. They thought he was going to be too... It wasn't going to be taken serious because everything he'd done in the past
was
over the top.
Right.
And, you know, is this going to be good? Knocked it out of the park.
He loved the blues. He loved the blues. But that was one of the great, man. I mean, Paul McCartney showed up on Saturday Night Live. All the musicians, Rolling Stones, you know. I mean, everybody, you know. There was some guy named Rocket, who said the F-bomb on his first episode.
Yep.
And so, and so did Kristen Stewart.
She
dropped an F-bomb.
Yep.
You know, Kristen Stewart.
Mm.
But one of the cast members said F, and that was it. First show, last show. See ya.
Really?
Yep. Oof. Jimmy Fallon was famous for cracking up in skits. I just was watching the hot tub skit with Rachel Dratch and Will Ferrell. It was hilarious.
Great. All
I
liked were great. Hot tub. They were always by Hoth's side.
Yeah, right.
When he would do
hot tub. In a hot tub.
In a hot
Eddie
tub.
Murphy. Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
In a hot tub.
Think about it. Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, Adam Sandler, David Spade, Chris Farley, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you know, I mean, on and on. Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, come on. Bill Murray, forget about it. Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase. I mean, it's crazy the amount of people that came off. And there's a new woman that's on the show now, and I can't. She was in the Shrinking Show. She was the one that pushed her boyfriend off the cliff, and she's gorgeous and she's funny. And I can't remember her name, unfortunately. What?
The interview's on February 17th, and we're off that day because it's a holiday.
I thought it was today.
Monday, February 17th.
Oh, that's the wrong day, guys. We got some time.
Yeah. Can we reschedule, though? Because that day is a holiday.
The 17th?
Yeah.
I'll come in.
President's Day.
I am not.
Nah, forget that. I'm not coming in either.
God damn it.
But we've had a great, I mean.
What a great show this has been. This is another.
I'm really pumped to actually talk to her and ask all these questions. I hope that we can get her on a different day.
Yeah, probably not. Well, because they said it was today, and I thought it was today, so I said, we just did another interview that you'll hear on the air. Yeah. Long story.
I did this a couple weeks ago. Mark Erickson from Special Olympics New Hampshire came walking in the door. Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
I told him next Thursday.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Didn't.
It happens. Shit happens.
Yeah. Sorry. I just was like, it's weird that she's this late. I'm going to look at the email. And then I looked.
It does say the 17th. You're right. Yeah. And we are off that day. Yeah. So now I have to call and say,
hey, it's Greg.
Thanks for rearranging the schedule to fit us in. And now I have to back out.
Or you could just, is have them call you at home that day and just pretend to do it.
See, this is the stuff behind the scenes. And this is what the 24/7 is. It's raw and it's real.
Yeah.
I screwed up.
I have an appointment at 11:30 that morning, but I can fit in at 10:40.
I know. Is it a day off?
Yeah.
Yeah, then we're not working.
It's just a Zoom. I mean, record.
Yeah, no. My days of doing that shit are done.
I could do it if you needed me to.
Are you kidding me? Who am I talking to?
Why?
What just happened to you? It's a day off.
I understand, but
it's 10:40.
10:40. I'll be up by 10:40. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll be up at like 8.
I won't be able to do it.
Why?
Because I'm not coming here. Well, I'm not coming to the studio to record it.
No, the rest of us are just trying to cover your ass. But
I,
mean,
I could come here
a jerk
and
hit
record.
Didn't we just say if she doesn't call, we could talk about it? You just said that. You said that we could carry on if she didn't call.
I live so many lies.
Yes, you do.
I can't even friggin' keep track.
What's the biggest lie? What's the lie you told this weekend?
Lie.
You live so many lies. Pick one from this weekend.
I'm kind of kidding.
We all lie. We all lie on one level or another. Simple lie, white lie.
I lied to Amy when we went out Friday night to eat, and she goes, "So talk to me about this whole don't like to carry my leftovers thing." And I just said, I was honest with them and just said, "Hey." And she's like, "Well, did you tell them that I was already carrying my own leftovers and you wanted me to carry yours too?" And I'm like, "I think I told them that."
You didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Valerie wanted me to get something at the store, and I told her they were all out, and I didn't really go to the store.
What was it? Like water?
Nah.
Sold out.
The whole water aisle.
It
was some type of coffee creamer type of thing that, you know, is in stock some days and isn't. So I picked, you know, that when she said it, I'm like, I went to the store looking for it. I was going to bring it home for you, but they didn't have any. But, you know, I knew that they didn't have any the day before. I hope she just doesn't go to the store like that later that day. But I just said, they didn't have any. And I looked and I waited and I thought she was going to bag me and just say, you didn't go. And I admit it. But she didn't. So I just let it ride. Like, why would I admit that I was lying when she didn't question me?
Yeah, you don't want her trust in you diminish.
Yeah. Is that a foul on my part?
Yeah.
Did you lie? Do you ever lie?
I try not to.
I know, but we all lie little
sometimes
stuff.
For
a person who doesn't believe in heaven or anything like that, you do live quite the lifestyle of a person that would be like, my mom never lied. Oh, and if you did lie, she goes, you won't go to heaven. Now I lie all the time, so I don't go to heaven.
Valerie does not lie.
Yeah, I don't.
She just doesn't. She'll tell you the truth, and she won't. If you're pulling a gag on someone and you're trying to fake them out, she's not on board. Don't expect Valerie to go along with it. She will not. You're like her.
But we're talking like little ones. Like maybe hey, Mom, did you see that play I made? And you're like, yeah, but you were on your phone. You could give it.
No, I watched all the sporting events. I did. It was yesterday. Their team was winning. They have lost this one. He's on two basketball teams. This one team, they've not won a game all year. It's been brutal because last year the same team was undefeated, won the championship. So he's learning the best of both worlds.
Yep.
he's smiling and they're winning. And I'm like, look at how happy he is. He's smiling. He's so happy. I get down to the court and I'm like, great job, buddy. He's like, you owe me 20. I said, what? He's like, you told me triple double, you give me $20. I said, that was 2 games ago. 2 games ago, I said, hey, if you get a triple double, I'll give you 20. He remembered it and brought it over till yesterday. He goes, I just got a triple double. We won the game, triple double. I want $20. I was like,
Jesus,
crap.
She's her. Damn. That's all. It's all about money. Everything's
like,
about money with the kid.
Motivation.
He's smart.
But that's what he said. He goes,
he's smart.
Wait till next week. And I was like, No. I'm not triple doubling $20 right. every game. Like, you had a great game, but.
Do you ever lie to the kids? I lied to mine once.
Maybe about food.
Yeah, sometimes.
About food.
No. I mean, I guess back in the day, like, I would just say, like, I used to mix vegetables with all my, but now my kids eat vegetables. Like, they have no problem eating their broccoli. They love broccoli.
Tell me if this is bad. Okay, so this is a true story. When Tyler was young, he had a bit of a speech issue, right? He, you know, there was just the certain words he couldn't say. And so we had a speech therapist take and said, well, we'll take care of this, can be taken care of easily. Speech therapist, we're going to go to some speech therapy over at UNH, which I took him to. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were going there and he was a little kid. So he was always self-conscious and embarrassed about things if they were different from anybody else. Right. I'm like, dude, I said, this is not a problem. This is going to be fixed. I had to go to a speech therapist when I was a kid, and look what I do. And he looked at me and said, really? And I said, yeah.
But sometimes that's a good lie.
It was a lie.
No, I understand, but there's good lies.
But sometimes they can't fix it.
I know. Yeah. No, you were pointing at roadkill? Yeah.
I didn't say that. But that's a good lie, right? Yeah, that's a fine lie.
And it made him feel better.
I did lie. Remember, Parker had the hiccups and I tried to scare him and told him his turtle was dead. But that one backfired on me. He was like...
Yeah, that's not... Yeah. You were joking like that the kid's pet died.
Well, they say scare somebody when they have hiccups. So I tried to scare him.
You scared him with a friggin' knife against his face.
Well, we do that now. It's no more turtles.
Not at all dangerous. Not at all
dangerous. It's a butter knife.
Scotty, you lie to the kids?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you name one?
Just telling them things like if they'd gone through something, I'd be like, hey, I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Just to make them feel good. That's an okay lie.
Yes. As far as I'm concerned, you know what? The whole lying about, you lie. Okay? We all do. I can't go tonight. I don't feel good. I feel perfectly fine. I don't want to go tonight.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right. Yeah. Right. Ever lie, Kelly?
I'm sure I have. I can't think of anything off the top.
I think it's
normal. Nothing.
Right.
Like, I'm going to usually always lean or tell the truth.
Of course. When I told Tyler that I never had this, he's like, as an adult, he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, really.
I've never told my daughter, like, you know, in high school, or, you know, we snuck out and we drank a few beers every once in a while. I've never even told her.
You know, I have friends that, like.
It wasn't until later on that I.
Total honesty. I'm like, that's horseshit.
Yeah. No.
Total honesty with a kid.
You don't want to rubber stamp the bad behavior.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we were drinking and smashing mailboxes.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't do that. I do. There's no need to do that. I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just not saying I did.
No need to tell Chloe that I went out in the woods and we looked at Dirty Mags.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No need to tell.
Yeah, back then they had Dirty Mags.
She doesn't want to know that.
Yeah, everybody did that.
That's what I think.
Yeah. She doesn't want to know. I'm telling you that.
Kid, one of our pastimes was going out into the woods and smashing bottles on rocks. Back then, there was no plastic. There was no cans. Yep. Everybody was drinking out of bottles and you'd smash them. Yeah, that was it. That was what poor kids did. Anyway, I think it's time that we go home. I apologize for my mistake.
We have
a
meeting today, Gene.
I know. We got to go. But I apologize for my mistake about Susan Morrison. We'll see. I don't know if we're going to be able to rearrange this one or not, but I'm sure it would have been a great interview. Damn it. They throw these things at you a million times. You have to knock away like 20 of them just to get 2 good ones, and then you get them, and I screwed up. My bad.
You still have a shot.
Yeah. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to whip my backside with that Solis thing that Scotty was talking about. The albino used it on, what was it?
Foul play?
No. The Dan Brown book.
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. Sorry about all of this.
I'm not sorry.
But I still had fun, though.
I had a good time.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Some of it.
Yep.